Hello and welcome to Gilead. My name is Soren. I'm the communications and admin hoss here, and we are so glad you could join us. Gilead is a queer storytelling bar church, and we are so happy to have you. And guess what? This past Sunday, it was Easter and Trans Day of Visibility, March 31st, 2024. Easter is for losers. It's for the marginalized. It's for the downtrodden. It's for everyone. And we are all welcome at the table together. So please listen to Rebecca's sermon about how Easter is for losers, and we'll catch you next Sunday, that is, April 14th, at my buddy's at 5 p.m., if you want to join us in person next time.
Spring day, baseball field, the final months of high school. I was so done. I'd found my way in the social hierarchy. I'd carved out a little niche in the Venn diagram of theater kids and nerds and peer advisors. I had friends, I had a safety net, and I would not, especially now at this point, need ever to repeat the gulag conditions of middle school. And yet, gym class had often been grueling, and when it wasn't, when it hadn't been for a long time, I still steeled myself. And anxious and jumpy over previous run-ins and remembered insults shouted aloud and gone unremarked on by anybody with power. But all that was almost behind me. One more section of hated baseball, and then I'd be gone. The stoner bassist, Keith Nagera, was somehow chosen as one of the team captains, and it was clear from his first pick that something was up. It was actually not clear from his first pick, because his first pick was hippie and fellow stoner musician Heidi Germain, and they'd been friends as long as anyone could remember. But his second pick, after the other captain chose a fellow jock, that one seemed surprising. And with each name that Keith Nagera called after that, or even muttered non-name, or like a finger pointed in the direction of some other nerd or peer advisor or theater kid, vocational dude, bando, metalhead, gamer, freak, geek, dork, it got more surprising. Like, I felt giddy, like this was happening. Way before Keith looked at me, I knew which side I was on. It was still dark out when the women left their homes for the tomb. They'd seen it already on Friday afternoon, and also they'd seen how Jesus' body was laid out. And then on Friday afternoon, short little window before the Sabbath started, they'd gotten spices and ointments together for the body. Maybe some from the neighbors, maybe some from their own stash. And now it was early Sunday morning, and they were headed to take care of the body. These women had come to Jerusalem from Galilee up north with Jesus, and they'd been following him through the cities and villages where he preached good news. They'd more than followed him, actually. They'd bankrolled and otherwise supported his work out of their own resources. They'd followed him to the big city, part of the procession and impromptu parade just a week before, and had been part of the crowd, too, that followed him on the way to his execution, wailing and beating their breasts. And then they stood and watched at a different distance while the empire had its way with him, and there they were watching when he died. This had been their do-over. And it was all over. Their unconventional path, their role in the revolution had ended. These women had lost big. But here they were, and they had one more job to do. Never shirkers, they stepped up and found the mouth of the tomb gaping open, and when they went in, no body. Instead, suddenly, two guys were there in dazzling clothes, standing right next to them, and terrified, they dropped like stones, faces in the dirt. For those who love the world the way it is, Easter is no great news. And I don't mean love the world the way I think God loves the world, like with hope for something better and justice for those who've been shoved to and held at the margins, love that also wants an end to oppression and occupation, love that accepts each person and situation with a radical grace and also with the knowledge that there is more and better on offer, a knowledge that could hold each person and situation accountable if we admitted it. I'm talking about those who love the world the way it is because it's working for them. They have enough. I mean, they earned it. They have a place to live and enough food and clean water and health care that nobody's trying to take away or put limits on. They have safety and work. They can take out loans when they need to, and then they can pay them back. They're winning. They're winners. The kind of people who Jesus told to sell everything they had and give it to the poor. The kind of people Jesus said were like somebody trying to ride a camel through a needle's eye, inadmissible. Jesus came for the other team, the impoverished, the disenfranchised, the powerless, the sex workers, the laborers, the unemployed, the mad, the brokenhearted, those with disabilities, the untouchables, the losers, and each one of them, when he looked their way, chose them, called them, said their names, saw what was happening, and felt almost giddy with it. But laying in the dirt, it had all come to nothing. Or worse. Because what even was this? The two men in the tomb asked the women why they were looking for the living among the dead. But they weren't doing that. They were looking for the dead among the dead. They'd seen him, dead. And these guys went on, he's not here, duh, they know, but has risen. At what point did these women get up off the ground? The men in dazzling clothes said, remember how he told you that the Son of Man must be handed over and crucified and on the third day rise again? And then they remembered. And maybe that's when they stood up. Because they returned from the tomb to report all this to the other apostles. At the end of high school, we were unsatisfying opponents for the other team. We were happy to sit on the bench and talk, and we barely paid attention to the game. In the outfield, we'd watch a ball sail by and trot, like if that, toward it after it had dropped into the grass. Watching this, somebody from the other team finally yelled, oh, come on! But we weren't working on the same project. The kid in that poem that Vince read, she's not like that. She cares about the beautiful game and never loses interest in the roughhouse one-on-one that comes every 30 seconds. She sticks her leg in danger and comes out the other side running. She's not a loser because she's disengaged. She's a loser because the other team outplayed her, ponytails flying. She's all in, ready to step up, step in, even while the score tilts against her people. 1-0, 4-0, 9-0, right up to the end when it's all over. When her grandfather is driving her home and they see that clump of winners chanting, we won, we won, we won. And what comes over her when she stands up and grabs hold of the windshield and hollers back the truth? The women in the tomb had been there from the beginning, or like as much from the beginning as anybody else. They were followers, just like anybody else. Marginalized because of their gender, and also they had more power than some because of their means. The Magdalene had been plagued by demons, and now she'd carved out a place for herself among this particular group that moved freely and stalwartly, while male disciples scattered and lied about knowing Jesus. They were losers, just like the rest of them, and they had means. They'd had access to Jesus. They'd heard what he said, and were in a position to remember. They saw the empty tomb and those guys, and they reacted with action, not just amazement, which is how Peter left the tomb just a few minutes later, just amazed. Unlike the men, they didn't need it explained a second or third time. They didn't require laying eyes on Jesus. They broke their silence. They told their truth. We lost. We lost. They killed him, and the body is gone. We lost big time. A joyful fuck you to the empire that had killed him. A giddy call and response that knows this game is not what you think. The good news of the gospel is for losers, because we're the ones who need it. And because the empire, whichever empire, the empire's idea of winning sucks. And the game is not the game we've been taught. And also, it's not a game. Our whole horizon taken up with games that someone else seems to be winning. But there's this story beyond and around and undergirding the whole horizon. And it's so much bigger and different than whatever the game is supposed to be about. We lost. We lost. We lost big. A joyful fuck you that doesn't actually mean that they, whoever they are fucked. Because the good news, whether people want it or not, whether they know they need it or not, it's for all people, every single last one of whom is a loser. When the women told the other disciples, they dismissed it. Women, am I right? Always talking crazy? Always saying somebody's been raised from the dead? Their access seemed worthless, their privilege relative. Listen, there were kids in high school I made fun of, if not like mercilessly. I definitely acted like I thought they were losers, and I wasn't. And that was honestly so long ago that it feels silly to talk about. Like, I'm sure I have more recent examples of being judgmental. It feels silly, except that the world is still full of people who think I'm a loser. A snowflake, if we're still saying that. A heretic who wouldn't recognize Jesus if he walked here in here. Or a loser who's been brainwashed to believe this impossible story, and worse, dedicated my life to following the one at the center of it, and worse, dedicated my life to gathering others into a community who also find that story compelling or life-saving. It feels silly to talk about, except that the world is still full of people that I'm tempted to think of as losers, and I wrote tempted because I'm embarrassed to tell you that I think of them as losers, even though if I had to guess, we're probably on the same team. But God didn't make us for teams or sides or competition or comparison. And I'll tell you what, I've been following Jesus a long time and I'd know him anywhere. And I know which crowd I'm part of, the ragtag mad band of losers gathered around Jesus crowing, "We lost. We lost." The crowd that includes those women going all the way home to Galilee, but first to wherever they were staying that week. Those women standing up and telling their story loud without regard for the ones who were looking askance at them. I'm part of that Easter crowd. And you too, at least in this moment, for this moment, that crowd going all the way home, those losers, so glad, so glad. So glad.